the Word of God tonight, and we're turning again to Leviticus chapter 16. I'm going to read two verses. It's verses 7 and 8. It says, "And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat." Just have another wee word of prayer together, please. Lord, we want to thank you for your goodness here tonight. Thank thee for the personal testimony to thy saving grace, to thy keeping power, to all thy goodness and love that has been experienced by Beatrice. We pray that you continue to bless her, continue to answer her prayers. And Lord, we pray tonight for Aaron too. We thank thee for the messages and song. And Lord, we thank thee now for thy word. We thank thee that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. May it come tonight with relevance and with power and with clarity to all of our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you say to anyone today, cover up, people prick their ears up and listen to what you're saying. Cover up is something that we're used hearing about right across many different walks of life and in many different areas of society. Sometimes there are cover-ups that are never really revealed, and other times there are those that eventually are revealed. I remember hearing the story many, many years ago that down here where I come from, at Annethmore, there was a great estate called Church Hill Estate. It used to extend the way out to where I was reared, and at that time the Verner family, they lived in a big house there. They had many connections in different parts of the world, and they were very wealthy people. You've heard of Verner's Inn, perhaps. There was an old inn there, belonged to Verner's as well. And at the great old house, there was a big bell that they used to use to call the workers in at when it was time for food. And whenever that house was being demolished, the bell was to be taken and given. Well, it was to be given to a place where a lot of the local people didn't want it to go. And one night, when the old building was being demolished, a lot of the local men, they gathered. Now, this is a long, long time ago. They gathered and they took the bell. And they took the bell and they hid the bell. And they said, "We will never tell where the bell is hidden, because the bell does not belong on a chapel, in our opinion." And those men, many, many years went by, and various people would have said to them, sons and relatives and so on, "Right, tell us where the bell is." And they would never tell. And as the years went by, those men eventually passed away, one by one, until just a few years. I remember the last one of them passing away, and they never told anyone where the bell was hidden. The bell was well covered up. And you know, eventually, just a few years ago, the bell was found, and I believe it has been restored to the National Trust property up there now, where Churchill Estate used to be. It's known to most people as Peatlands Park, or Peatland Park, where the little train is, and so on. And you could go on to mention many places and many areas. There's cover up, whether it is for political expediency, where it is for monetary gain, whether it is because of what some reason or another. There are all kinds of cover ups, things that are covered up. And you may say tonight, "Well, what are you talking about cover-up?" Well, we have before us in the verses we read details of what is known as the Day of Atonement. Now, the word atonement is a very interesting word. In the original, it's the word kafar, and it simply means to cover up. It means to cover. It actually means, in this instance, to cover, and to cover in a way so as not to be seen. And that's what atonement really means. You see, we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ atoned for the sins of men and women. And we believe that he paid the price for sin and purchased our redemption, not only so that it would be possible for men and women to be saved, but we believe that it is because he died for all of those who would come to him and would put their faith and trust in him. But to get back to the passage here, we have before us details of what is known as Yom Kippurim. It is a day that is of very great significance even to the modern Jew, right up until this moment of time. But you know, these verses ought to be more significant for the Christian, because the events on this day form a very appropriate picture of the crucified Son of God and what He accomplished for His people on Calvary. Now, when you look at verse 7, you will see that there were two goats mentioned there. Two goats that were to be a sin offering for the people. And when you consider all of the sacrifices in the Old Testament and all of the shadows that pointed forth to Calvary, there are very few, if any, who more fully exhibit the work and sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ better than what we have before us here tonight in these verses. We have what we call a typical representation of the work of Christ, or a picture of what Christ accomplished. And I believe we have before us pictured the greatest cover-up in history. The greatest cover-up in history. And I want tonight just to draw your attention very briefly to three simple thoughts. I want you to notice, first of all, the presentation that is made here. Look what it says in verse 7. "And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." Both of these goats were to be presented together as one sin offering. Now, one of the goats was to die. We read in the verses tonight how the lot was to be used to determine which of the goats was to be sacrificed. And that we take it that that was the one that would be chosen by the Lord. If you look in verse 7, it says, "It is to be done before the Lord." And then it was devoted to that sacred purpose by the will of God. And how that points to the fact tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ was the only one. He was the only one who could open heaven's door for us. It says over there in the book of Acts, I read it for you in chapter 2 and verse 23, it says, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel." Being delivered there is really showing by the permission of God. And the word determinate means a settled counsel, means a settled will. So you could really say him being delivered by the settled will or the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. It's very noticeable here that any old goat out in among the cattle or among the sheep would never do. If you look there in verse 5 of chapter 16 in Leviticus, it says, "And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats for a sin offering and one ram for a burnt offering." When you think of the little kids there, the picture is of that which is unblemished. The thought is of innocency, of purity. And of course that again speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who was fit for the task of paying for your redemption and for mine. The only one who could atone for the sins of men and women. It is very noticeable here in these verses that the goat had to be put to death. This unblemished goat that had been selected, we believe, by the Lord, was to be put to death and its blood was to be shed. If you look there in chapter 17, there's a very important verse. In fact, a very important verse in the whole Bible. It's the key verse in the book of Leviticus. It says in verse 11 in chapter 17, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." Now, I would like to stop there just for a moment and say to you that your soul is important. The Bible has much to say about your soul. The Lord Jesus Christ had much to say about the importance of your soul. But when you read here in verse 11 where it says to make an atonement for your souls, and my purpose tonight is not textual criticism, but in the NIV version of the Bible, I believe that it says make an atonement for yourselves. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for one's life. And I believe tonight, firmly and convicted, that we need to emphasize not the importance of yourself or your life, but we need to bring to your attention tonight, men and women, the importance of your soul. And it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. And this goat was to be taken and placed on the altar of sacrifice there in verse 15 of chapter 16. He takes the blood into the most holy place. He sprinkles it on the mercy seat. He sprinkles it on the floor. He's filling the holy place, as it were, with the cry of the atoning blood. And to this blood, Aaron points for pardon. And of course, again, this all points to the great sacrifice of the Lamb of God, the one who was spotless, the one who was undefiled and separate from sinners, the one who was slain for those who would come and put their faith and trust in him. The Bible tells us that he died the just for the unjust. Why? That he might bring us to God. That is why he died. We sang earlier on tonight, "No more veil, God bids me enter by the new and living way." There is that new and living way tonight because of what he did. Because he was presented. He was presented as a spotless and sinless and the selected and worthy Son of God. If you look there in verses 18 and 19 of it says there in verse 18 and 19 of Leviticus 16, "And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord, and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock, and of the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger 7 times, and cleanse it, and hollow it with the uncleanness, from the uncleanness of the children of Israel." You notice that he's to do this 7 times. 7 is the number of perfection. This picture is the perfect work. And dear friends, tonight, the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, his great atoning work, his work of dying for the sins of all of those who would ever come to him, that work is a perfect work. You have really here a combination. You have sin and the atonement for sin. You have in this picture the foulest of sins and the fullest of atonement. And the place where that is found for you tonight is the cross of Calvary. That is where God's justice and his mercy met together. They met there in the work that the Lord Jesus Christ, that the work that he achieved for men and women, it is a finished work. It's true tonight that there's only one sacrifice, and it's made for sin forever. I wonder, is it anything to you tonight that he was presented for all of those who would come to him? Don't consider how it is with you tonight. Don't try to ask yourself, "Am I God's elect?" Remember what God's word says. "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." But there's not only the presentation here of these goats, there's the actual dealing with sin pictured. If you look there at verses 20 to 22, we'll read them quickly. Leviticus 16 says, "And when he had made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions, in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities, into a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness." On this goat, the sins of the people were symbolically laid. Remember, here we're dealing with symbols and types in the Old Testament. There's no mention here of categories of sins. But I think it's suffice to say, when you consider the children of Israel, they were vast in number. That is, their sins were. They were of great variety. And now they are transferred, as it were, to the scapegoat. And they were to be acknowledged as the people's sins. You will understand tonight, this was a tremendous burden by faith that was laid over onto this scapegoat. And as men and women in Northern Ireland, or can we narrow it down to Achillea tonight, as we consider our sins, there are many of them we would rather were never mentioned ever again. There are many of them that we don't really care to think about. Our sins were many. But the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ bare our sins in His body on the tree. We're not taking time tonight, but read Isaiah 53 yourself. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. He bore the weight of our sin. He bore the penalty for our sin. Our sin was dealt with. Those of us who've come to Him, our sin was dealt with in Him. It's notable there that this scapegoat was taken and sent out into the wilderness. There's no record that it ever come back again. In your life tonight, you may have things that come around from time to time. You may have a visitor that only comes once in a while. I hope it's not the minister, and you don't want to see him. You think, oh no, it's that time again. Well, I hope that's not the case, but you may have certain things that come from time to time. Rest assured in this tonight, Christian. If you know the Lord, if you're saved, if you could give your testimony like Beatrice, perhaps you would never do that. But if you can say in the quietness of your own heart, I can identify with what that lady said. I know the Lord is my Savior. If you can say this, there's one thing that will never, ever come round to you again, and that is your sin. Yes, you'll fail. You'll come short of the mark as far as you're concerned. But judicially, before the judgment bar of God, you will be just. Therefore, sin, what I'm saying is sin will have no more dominion over you. The Bible indicates to us that as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgression from us, east and west can't be seen. The west can't be seen by the east, nor the east by the west. Your sins are gone. And they're gone forever. In fact, the Hebrew word that is associated with atonement refers to, we believe, the putting sins where God cannot see them. A covering over of them and a putting them where they can never be seen. This goat went away out into the wilderness. It was separated from the others. And you know, in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who come to Him, if you come to Him tonight, you'll know what it is to be separated from the guilt of sin. I remember hearing a man preaching years ago, and he said, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I couldn't go on. He said, I can remember things that I've done in my life. Now, he wasn't a murderer or anything like that, but he remembers things that he did that he was ashamed about, and things that he shouldn't have done. And he says, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I couldn't go on, but he can go on. Why? Because he has the grace of God. He has the grace of God, and his guilty conscience has been dealt with. By the grace of God, you will know separation from the guilt of sin. You will know separation from the bondage of sin. I mentioned to you earlier on that when your sins are gone, it doesn't have dominion anymore. Oh, sin troubles you, and you have a daily battle with it, but it doesn't have dominion anymore. Christ is on the throne of your heart. You'll know separation from the grip of sin, from the guilt of sin. And listen to this unsaved person tonight. If you come to know Beatrice as Savior, you will know separation from the eternal consequences of sin. And that's important. In fact, it's vital tonight that you understand that the divine justice of God was exhausted in Christ for all who would ever come. But men must come. Men must come. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Christ was the substitute. We have it pictured here in this goat. The dealing with sin, He bore all that was due to me. He was the one who was presented for the sins of men. But there's something else we want to notice here in closing, and that is that repentance is necessary. Please look at verse 21 of this chapter. Leviticus 16, verse 21. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions and in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send them away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. There was sincere, genuine self-abasement. There was contrition here. There was repentance here. And you know what the Bible says? Repent and believe the gospel. Repenting does not mean that you're saying something so that it suits the circumstances that you find yourself in. Repenting, real repentance is a real thing. It's not saying, oh, I've repented. Sorry about that. will just go on. If you truly repent, you would love to make amends for wrongdoing, isn't that right? You and I can't do that by ourselves, as far as our sin is concerned. So you have a picture here, really, of faith. This was symbolically taught in the priest laying his hands upon the live goat. Of course, this was never anything more than a goat, and the priest was never anything more than a man. But symbolically, he was laying his hands and was teaching us faith. Remember the words of Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves, that counts anything I can do out. That not of yourselves, it is the grace of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And if you will be saved tonight, take all of your sin and all of your guilt, all of it. Don't categorize it, but take it all tonight. And by faith, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your situation, whatever it is. Your life, for all I know, behind closed doors could be in tatters. Your reputation could be ruined, for all I know. But remember this, there's still mercy to be found with the Lord tonight. There's still salvation to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And as you consider the picture that's presented here before us tonight, we have his atonement. His atonement is the greatest cover-up of all time. Your sin and mine, all of us who will come and put our faith and trust in him, our sin is covered, never to be cast in our teeth again, never to be remembered against us anymore forever. That experience can be yours tonight if you will come and put your faith and trust in him. Don't put it off. Don't say, can't wait to get out of here. I'm tired of this. We recognize tonight that we are only men, but what we're saying is true, because the Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Would you come tonight? Put your trust in him. Even now, in the quietness of your own heart, call upon him. Say, Lord, I want you to take my sin away. I recognize that you died for me, and all that was due to me, all that I deserved, and more along with it, the Lord took it all and bore it in his own body on the tree. You know, there are many people tonight, and they're in the place called hell. And they used to sit in places like this. And some of them liked ministers. They were very kind to the minister and would have done anything for them. And they were very kind to other individuals as well. But they went out into eternity without the Lord. And they have all eternity to regret it. Don't be numbered among those tonight. Come and be numbered among those who trust the Savior. Come and put your faith and trust in him. I trust that the Lord will enable you tonight to do that. Going to sing a couple.